This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. After yesterday's tragic news in Minneapolis, what do we do? This scenario happens far too often, and the same questions keep coming up. Joining us is a safety expert, Sam Rosenberg, who wrote Live Ready, A Guide to Protecting Yourself in an Uncertain World. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
You probably, like most of us, immediately say, oh, no, not again.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, these things are horrific. And, you know, you, as a decent person, you just can't be, you can't help but be powerfully affected, especially given the way this has been for the last 30 years, really escalating.
That said, we were discussing earlier this morning, we come up with the same questions and honestly, very little answers.
Well, you know, there's the same questions. I've talked about this issue for the past really about 20 years, Larry, and I've been proposing solutions and working with everyone from workplaces to school districts to individual families about this. And, you know, one of the problems that we have is there's a certain level of inertia here where these events, whether we want to frame it this way or not, become politicized immediately. On the one hand, people start to think about it as a gun control issue. On the other hand, they start to say it's a mental health issue. And reality-wise is both perspectives are truly missing the mark in terms of how to identify in advance these kinds of actors who are and people who are planning or thinking about committing mass homicide and what the real indicators are that we're looking for. And also, we're missing the mark on what has to happen from a true security basis. And those two factors are very, very frustrating. In a nutshell, you know, when most people think about violence of this sort, they want to think of it as something that is an anomaly, something that is random. But when we call it something that is random, we are saying it is unpredictable. And what we're saying, if it's unpredictable, is that, that what responsibility do we have towards stopping it or getting ahead of this curve? But violence of this sort is not unpredictable. It is a process, and it's a process almost as predictable and observable as boiling water if you know what you're looking for. And the key factor here in terms of people who do this kind of mass shootings, they all fall into a very, very similar psychographic, meaning that there is no real demographic. You know, they come from all walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds, genders, races, all that kind of stuff. What we're talking about here, though, is a personality type. And functionally, when we see the similarities, it all starts with a concept of character disorder, meaning people who inherently simply do not take responsibility for their actions. And they look at the world through the lens of themselves being a victim, and they feel justified in their level of violence to get their message across. I've always said that it's not that they're just mad. They're mad and they want everybody to know why they're mad. So one of the most classic things that happens in the aftermath of all of these incidences is police and the news media and the government saying a motive is unknown at this time. And the reality is it doesn't take a big stretch to see that there's always a manifesto. There's always some kind of, as the FBI calls it, a legacy token left behind by these mass shooters and these active killers to say, this is why I did it. And very often it always comes down to some kind of very common pattern like we see here of anger and resentment towards a specific group or individual that they believe to be responsible not only for all their troubles, but as they see it, all the world's problems. And when we see that coupled with a belief that they are in fact superior to that, you know, this kind of persecution complex tied with this superiority complex, we have a chemical cocktail that can explode into violence. Character disorder in general is the root of the problem. And what that is not taking responsibility for one's problems. You know, they see themselves as a victim. They blame others for all of their issues, and they simply refuse to take and accept that they could have some contribution to the challenges or the difficulties of their life. And that really is at the root of the issue. And the problem is that most of the active shooters that we see do not typically, especially the juveniles, don't typically demonstrate criminal pathing or juvenile delinquency the way we would see other sort of folks having a hard time in society exhibiting problematic behavior and alerting authorities to those behaviors. So what we really have to get good at is teaching people how to spot the indicators, particularly the eyes and ears of our society, people like teachers, people like, parents, how to spot the warning signs that someone could be heading down a dark path and get them the proper intervention. And intervention does, in fact, work.
We're with Sam Rosenberg, security expert.
Sam, I hear you saying something here. If I could water it down, it's like they're coming for us. We need to be going after them before they do that.
Yeah, and I don't want to call it like we have to be going after them, but essentially what we have to do is we have to get aware and alert to what the true warning signs are that someone is not just hurting, but someone is hurting in a way where they could lash out violently and see violence as the appropriate or only solution to their problems. And intervention has to happen. And I'm not suggesting that that needs to be incarceration or it needs to be some kind of institutionalization in a mental institution. What I'm suggesting is that there is a movement of thought, if you will, and action that takes the form of what is classically referred to as behavioral threat assessment. And what that is looking at the totality of someone's circumstance and behaviors and saying, okay, this person seems to be moving in a direction that is quite similar to or parallel to others before them who have similarly lashed out in this way. How do we get in front of that and stop them from moving down that path any further? And how do we deflect them off of it? It is very intensive, very labor intensive to do this. It's very technical. Unfortunately, most people in society, law enforcement, even on the front lines, are not really being trained in this kind of thing. It's complicated and it's hard, and that's one of the challenges. But the key here is there's really two sides of the equation, Larry. Prevention and also security, right? And one of the biggest issues that we have, and it astonishes me as a security professional who spent my entire life trying to get people to understand both the preventative side and what factors you have to do to be able to protect yourself. There is a greater over-reliance on law enforcement intervention than most people want to admit. You know, organizations, whether they're schools, workplaces, have a tendency to simply push this off and say, isn't this the job of law enforcement? But the police are simply not going to be there when you need them. They're going to be coming as fast as they can. As an organization, you have to take security as your own inherent responsibility. It's good to have those lifeguards, but we need to know how to swim. And, you know, organizational security is not complicated. It's just a simple matter of a process. You need to know where you're vulnerable. You have to plan for those vulnerabilities, train your people what to do in the event of an emergency, and have in place the right security measures. Teachers shouldn't be responsible for securing a school. The students should not be responsible for securing a school. Both of those groups can contribute to prevention in terms of knowing what to look for and how to alert higher ups as to what's going on with their peers, for example, or their students. But security must be a priority for every organization, particularly vulnerable organizations like schools, places of worship, things like that. And when I'm talking about security, I'm talking about legitimate security, meaning armed responders who know exactly how to respond to a critical incident on site and vigilant to protect that perimeter.
Sam Rosenberg, Live Ready, a guide to protecting yourself in an uncertain world. We'll talk again. Appreciate your time this morning, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Very important conversation. And to your point, Paul, thinking of what Sam's saying about is doing as much as you can to target or identify, I should say, individuals who may be in that group, there's where your artificial intelligence that you pointed out, it as has to play a factor.
I can't imagine how that couldn't be helpful in locating people who have some of the characteristics that Sam is outlining, and how that behavior shows up in social media, how that behavior shows up in other ways. Very interesting.
I believe you're right. Yep. There's, and I'm sure some of that is underway.
But they are coming for us, and we need to be looking out for them, is, I think, his message.
Sure, this labor.